Hello, everybody, and welcome to another broadcast here, broadcasting live over the World Wide Web. Wednesday night, December 2nd, 2015. Omega Ministries Bible Study, Wednesday night Bible Study. Welcome to everybody. Hope you're having a good week thus far. And everything's going according to plan, whatever the plan is. Before we get going, by way of announcements, remember, Memorial Day weekend next year, Memorial Day weekend, May 27th through the 29th, we're looking at heading to Atlanta for the Soldiers of Light Conference, the Soldiers of Light, in preparation for a worldwide end time revival. You know and I know that the things that are occurring on this planet are really unbelievable. You couldn't make this up. A science fiction writer couldn't make this up. We're in another stage of human existence now, and we need to prepare. We need to pray. We need to fast. We need to seek the Lord. We need to see the body of Christ come together in unity. Enough of the debate. All the debates and all the schisms and all the misunderstandings have to be laid aside now, because we're in the last of the last days. So Memorial Day weekend next year, May 27th through the 29th, here in Atlanta, Georgia, at the Renaissance Hotel, the Airport Renaissance Hotel, we'll be having another conference, the Soldiers of Light Conference. You can register right now on our website, www.omegaministries.org. Click on News, and then click on Conferences and Events to register. It'll take you through a process whereby you can also register for your hotel rooms at the Renaissance. The hotel rooms this year, I think, are $89 a night. They're normally $129 or $139, but we get a rate of $89 for the conference. That's for two nights, Friday night and Saturday night, two nights. You just register using a debit card or credit card. They won't charge it when you register, but when you register, it will hold your rooms. So make sure you register and get your rooms and then register for the conference. That conference registration is $145, which covers all your meals Friday through Sunday. And we have a suite reserved that's going to be our suite for snacks and meals in between meals. So if you want to go down and eat a snack or eat some breakfast or eat a fruit snack or whatever you want to do, That room, that suite is available all through the conference for you to go and eat and take your kids to eat or whatever you want to do. We take care of all the food. The $145 is to take care of all the food for 3 days. So you can see the economy that's in that. You're basically looking at about $35 a day, $40 a day, whatever it is, for 3 days. And that also incurs the fee for the conference facilities, because we need ballrooms to hold the conference in. So all of that's incorporated in the $145. The food, the conference room, and all of that is in that $145. So be a part of it. Come on down to Atlanta. People who have come over the years know it's a lot of fun to fellowship with other saints, but it's all about preparation this time. We don't have the luxury of time anymore. Time has run out. And we're looking at the last of the last days unfold right before our very eyes in real time. So beware. We got to get ready. Also remember, every night, Monday through Saturday night, 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time, prayer. 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 We've got to pray. We've got to pray through to a breakthrough. Every night, Monday through Saturday night, 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, prayer. Immediately following this Bible study, you can switch right over to prayer. That number is 1-805-399-1000. 1-805-399-1000. And the access code is 409-367. So that's 1-805-399-1000. Access code 409-367. Join us in prayer. Don't be outside of the camp. Don't be a spectator. Become a participator. Everybody's invited out to pray. A lot of time at the conference is spent in prayer. We've got to pray. We have no choice now. Things are getting out of hand down here unless the saints pray and stand in the gap. Lastly, we always solicit support for Dunamis Tabernacle. I think the Message Sunday right now on live stream has over 700 viewers that just look at messages. We are not here to look at messages and preach and teach messages all day. Our endeavor is to put boots on the ground. We need an interdiction force, somebody that's willing to put their body in this thing and put their life on the line to save somebody else. We have to put boots on the ground in order to bring the gospel to bear on this generation. In keeping with that, our plan is to establish a base camp for the troops that are on the ground. You need resources. You need Bibles. You need videos. You need MP3s, CDs, whatever you need. A resource available to get to the troops on the ground, to keep them stocked, keep logistics in place so that as you go forth to preach the gospel, a phone call away, it's Bibles for you. If you save people, you got Bibles in hand. If you need ministry tools like videos or tapes or whatever, this is a military affair. This is not church as usual. You have to change your way of thinking about church. One of the depictions of the church in the Bible is an army. We are the army of God to fight the adversaries of God, Satan, fallen angels, and demons. So you have to have a military alignment. Paul told Timothy, "No man that warreth entangles himself with the affairs of this life that he might please him who has chosen him to be a soldier." This is a military alignment to fight a militant force of fallen entities that have set themselves against the will of God, Jesus Christ as Lord, and Jesus as church. So you have to be a person that has seen the light, and you become a soldier that carries the light to those that live in darkness. Dunamis Tabernacle, a Christian base camp. 2,778 people needed to contribute $288 to buy that building for the base camp debt-free. An $800,000 building, 2,778 people contributing $288 one time to establish that base camp. That sounds so ridiculous when you say it out loud. When you look at the billions and billions of dollars that are being channeled into false religion, Hinduism, Buddhism, Islam, Roman Catholicism, and we're talking about 2,778 people giving $288 to actually get this aircraft off of the ground and get moving. So don't be a spectator. Become a participator. We don't have plans for longevity because we don't have the luxury of longevity. This is an end time conflict for real this time. This is not for the faint of heart. This is not for hypocrites. This is not for somebody playing church. I'm not looking for longevity. I don't want a Bentley and I don't want a $65 million Learjet. We're here to do a job, access the masses, preach the gospel to the masses. And Jesus said, "And then the end shall come." Global proclamation of the gospel precipitates the end of the age. And to that I say, amen. Who wants to stay here anymore anyway? Dunamis Tabernacle, contribute. You listen to this message, go to www.omegaministries.org. Click on support, then donate, and follow the prompts to contribute. All we need is an army, a lean, mean army that means business. If you don't want to do it through cyberspace, mail support to Omega Ministries, Post Office Box 960146, Riverdale, that's one word, Riverdale, R-I-V-E-R-D-A-L-E, Riverdale, Georgia, 30296. Post Office Box 960146, Riverdale, Georgia, 30296. Make all checks payable to Omega Ministries. We're here to do a job, folks. We're not here to play around. We're not here to fool around. We're not here to tell you a bunch of gibberish that's meaningless and to get your money and just move on. We're here to reach out, save as many as we can before this thing culminates. The signs are all around us. The lights are flashing red. We've got to get moving. Get up. Get this thing off of you that's on you and got your mind weighed down and become proactive. Whatever this thing is, get it off of you. Shake it off of you and get moving. Even tonight, right now, is unfolding in San Bernardino, California. Active shooters on the ground. 3 men gunning down. I believe it's the body count is up to 17 dead, I believe. And I think it's 14 dead and 17 wounded that they're reporting right now. Murder and mayhem all around us. Why? You can't invite the spirit of murder into the environment with abortion clinics dotting the landscape throughout the country. You invited and invoked and divined up the spirit of murder, and now you're telling the spirit of murder not to kill. You invite the spirit of murder in. The Supreme Court legalizes and legitimizes murder in the first degree. 50 some odd million babies butchered. And now everybody's up in arms because murderers are loosed on the land. When you make murder the law of the land, you are not going to control the spirit of murder. Mayhem will take over the streets because the spirit of murder was divined up and legalized by the system of governance over us, from the Supreme Court to the White House to the Senate to the House of Representatives to local governments. You can't call up murder and then try to control murder. Murder is not an action or an activity. Murder is a spirit. It's a demon spirit. It's the Grim Reaper. He kills. He kills. And that's what he does. He's a murderous spirit. And once that thing was legitimized back in 1973 through Roe versus Wade and wholesale murder cloaking as abortions was put forth as legitimate, from that point on, all of the restraints were taken off and the spirit of murder marched through the land, stealing, killing, maiming, and destroying, until tonight, people lay dead in the streets of San Bernardino, California, because the spirit of murder has had free reign. That's the truth. There is no other scenario. There is no other answer. You call up spirits, those spirits will have dominion over you and they will carry out their will, especially when the legal system legitimizes those spirits. Beware of what spirits you allow into your life because there are prices to be paid. All right, let's get into the word for tonight. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, first of all, forgive us sins. Forgive us our sins, known and unknown. Anything we've done, God, to offend you in any way, shape, form, or fashion, please expunge it from our records. Because of the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, we're under the blood. We don't come through works of righteousness. We don't come through self-gratification or self-exaltation or self-evaluation or anything to do with the self-life. We come under the yoke of grace and mercy that is appended to your Son, Jesus Christ, asking you, God, to expunge all sins by the blood of the Lamb and keep us in good standing, God, to actually give us time to be transformed into the image of God through Jesus Christ. Grace is time to be changed. Folks want to make grace a lot of different things, God, but grace is the time given to the church to be changed into the image of your Son. The Bible says, don't frustrate this time of grace, the spirit of grace. Don't frustrate it. Don't take it a light thing. Don't try to think it's something to play with. We're given mercy and grace to change, not to be accounted worthy of damnation with the rest of this sin-benighted world. Lord, have mercy on our souls and give us the grace to hear this word. Let it impact the hearers and change them. Every word preached, every word taught is given to change us into the image of Jesus Christ. There is no other reason for the word. It's for washing. It's for regeneration. It's for restoration of our insane minds and to get us back to a place of normalcy. God, have mercy on all of us. Have mercy on our souls. Have mercy on our families. Have mercy on these kids. Families right now, you're looking at your kid. You know they're crazy. God, have mercy and send the Holy Ghost, God. Dispatch him to save their souls from impending doom and damnation. Some kind of a way, cut through all of this foolishness in this world and save their eternal souls before it's too late. And we'll be careful to give you the praise, the honor, and glory for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, folks. We're dealing with things this time and at this point in history, unlike any other time in history. You don't have time to listen to a bunch of tenderoni preacherettes talking about a bunch of nothingness all day. You got to cut to the chase now. You don't have time to fool around. While you're laughing and playing and kidding around, the devil's looking to steal, kill, and destroy everything in sight. We don't have time for pulpiteers and orators and kooks in the pulpit. You've got to cut to the chase now and deal with what's real. You've got to deal with what's in front of us and deal with it in a straightforward fashion. And that's what we intend to do. Tonight we're talking about the thought syndrome. The thought syndrome. That's capital T, capital H, capital O, capital T. Thoughts. Thoughts. Now the word thoughts in the world is referring to thirsty hoes over there. So the word hoes is the word they use for whore in the world. So they call them thoughts and they call them thirsty because they have this desire to be wanted so badly. Now, we're dealing with bridging a person over from where they are into the kingdom of God. A lot of folks get offended when you use the terminology that is germane to our culture and what's around us. But listen, stop being a tenderoni and get in the conflict. Stop being so weak and wimpy that you don't deal with the devil in a straightforward fashion. How can you, coming from a background of sin and all the dirt you did, be so tender now and cover up your ears and, "I can't believe he said whore. I just can't believe he used that word. That's not God." All the dirt you carried out and now you want to get so sensitive. Stop making a fool out of yourself. We're dealing with hardcore demonic activity here. We're dealing with Satan, a cherubim angel that will crush your skull. And here you are walking around tender and weak. You better get some steel poured into your soul and stand up armor clad and fight is what you better do. When we talk about things, we're not here to shock people. I'm not a shock jock. I'm not here to try to make you draw back and get all offended. And I'm not here especially to offend any women. But we've got to deal with what we've got in front of us and the hand we've been dealt. I'm using this term thought because this is what the world has appended to women who are basically rejected, emaciated, and broken down until they have no self-worth, no identity, and no value at all. And they embrace that. They walk in that. They walk in the devaluation that the devil placed on them, and they live in it. I'm here to get it off of them. I'm here to bring value back to your life. I'm here to see you honored again and dignified again. I'm here to have your mind restored to normal so you'll stop depreciating yourself so that God can appreciate you and lift you up to a higher state in life. I'm not here to put anybody down. I'm not here to malign anyone. I'm not here to make you feel any kind of a way about yourself. I'm not here to hash out and bring up your past sins. I'm not here in any way to demean you in any way, shape, form, or fashion, but you have to deal with the hand you've been dealt. You have to deal with the reality of sin down here, and we have to sometimes go back into the past, come through the present to get you to the future. I will say that again. Sometimes you have to go back into the past to bring you through the present in order to get you to a sustainable, righteous future. So we're dealing with the entirety of your life. We're trying to hash out and deliver you. Deliverance, by definition, is getting rid of something that's inside of you that is not appropriate and something that is binding you and holding you back. In the Bible, Jesus said that deliverance is the children's bread. Deliverance is for the saints. So therefore, you deal with casting out demons and deliverance from demon spirits. Nobody else is even available to be delivered but the saints. People say, can Christians have demons? Who else are you going to deliver? You can't cast a demon out of an unsaved person, because the Bible says an unclean spirit goes back to the house from which it came. And when it enters in, it brings seven other spirits worse than itself. And the latter state of that man is worse than the first. So why would you cast a demon out of somebody not saved, knowing the demon's going to come back and make the person worse? So deliverance is the children's bread. Jesus said, I can't give that which is holy unto the dogs. And when Jesus delivered people, it was called an act of compassion in the Bible. So we're here to deliver you from evil. You know from experience as a saved person, when you got saved and came to the Lord, you did not divest yourself of every problem inside of you. You've got things still hampering you. You've got sicknesses hanging around you. You've got mental things that still influence you. You've got images that are still in your mind. You've got these feelings that you're trying to divest yourself of. You've got emotional things that still hit you. There are trigger words that people can still say to you, and they get you caught up in what they said and you get angry. I mean, you don't want to be a saint of God out there fist fighting because you haven't been delivered. You want to be free. Whom the Son has set free is free indeed. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. It's all about liberty. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, the Bible says, there is liberty. We're here to set you free. So don't start drawing up and trying to act like you're so tender because I use a word like hoe or whores. Stop. Stop hypocriting around like you're so sanitized and so tender and pristine and clean, and deal with what you got to deal with. People live in raw sewage. If you're going to be a deliverance minister and deal with the realities of life, you got to be willing to stick your hand into raw sewage to pull people out. And it's a stench that comes with living in raw sewage. Life on earth is not pristine and pretty. It's not for a little wimpy mama's boy or mama's girl afraid to address hardcore situations. The junk you've done stands as a witness against you. All the fornicating you did, all the lying you did, all the dope smoking you did, all the alcohol you drank, all the partying at the club you did, and all the mess you got into, and now you want to feel like everything's so, that's just so hard and just so indecent, and that is just so inappropriate for the church, and you shouldn't say things like that. My little sensitive ears are just burning from what you said. Stop. 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 Stop kidding yourself. Your resume is against you. What you did is against you. You're not going to get God to look at you like you're some kind of a weak little wimpy person when he knows what you've done, and he knows you can take the truth point blank range, and that's how we tell it. Thoughts. It's a thought syndrome. I'm taking that word from the world. I'm extracting it from their system of meanings. Because we got to get a viewpoint of what they're talking about and why they're saying what they're saying, and they don't even know why. What is really going on behind the scenes as we take a look at the thought syndrome? Thoughts. Thirsty hoes over there is what they call them in the world. Stop being so tender and let's pull this thing apart through the Bible. You bridge across from the world to the Bible, from the Bible to the world, to bring about a real-time, present-day revelation of what's in front of us. Isaiah chapter 3. Look at Isaiah chapter 3. Isaiah chapter 3, we're looking at the thought syndrome. Verse 1, for behold, the Lord of hosts doth take away from Jerusalem and from Judah the stay and the staff, the whole stay of bread and the whole stay of water, the mighty man and the man of war, the judge and the prophet and the prudent and the ancient, the captain of 50 and the honorable man, and the counselor and the cunning artificer and the eloquent orator. We've got a famine. God has taken away men. Can you see it in your Bible? Isaiah 3 verses 2 through 3. He's taken away the men, the honorable men, the mighty men, the judges, the prophets, men of war, orators, speakers. All we got left now is a bunch of sissy sensitive wimps in the pulpit telling you can have your best life now. Every day is Friday, holding mega fists and trying to tell you how to be blessed with prosperity. This is the weak-kneed, eunuch, saturated environment we live in. We've got castrated men in the pulpit with no guts, giving God no glory. This is the curse on the modern-day church. The men have been castrated and incapacitated. Let me show you how it happened. And I will give children to be their princes, and babes shall rule over them. The children in the street rule over everybody. Young people in school run the schools because the principals and teachers, afraid of losing federal support for the school, can't even discipline the kids. So they're running wild in school right now. And the people shall be oppressed, every one by another, and every one by his neighbor. The child shall behave himself proudly against the ancient. See how proudly kids act against older people? You see how your boy and your girl are cursing out their grandmother? You see how they're cursing you out? See how they're giving you the finger when you tell them to do something? They're acting proudly against the ancient. And the base against the honorable. The base, the lowly, depraved person, raising up against an honorable person, a righteous person. When a man shall take hold of his brother of the house of his father, saying, you have clothing, be thou our ruler, and let this ruin be under thy hand. In that day shall he swear, saying, I will not be a healer, for in my house is neither bread nor clothing. Make me not a ruler over the people. For Jerusalem is ruined. What does the word Jerusalem mean? It means the city of peace. The city of peace is ruined. You, as an individual Christian, are a city of peace. You house the Holy Spirit, which is the spirit of peace, representing the Prince of Peace, who is Jesus Christ. Your individual life should reflect the fact that you, as an individual house, are a city of peace. But look what happens. Jerusalem is ruined. Jerusalem and the church are synonymous. The church in the modern day world is ruined. Peace is taken away. Men are destroyed. And Judah is fallen because their tongue and their doings are against the Lord to provoke the eyes of his glory. Judah is fallen. What does the word Judah mean? Praise. Praise is fallen. Praise comes out of your heart when your heart is full of Jesus and full of joy. When joy is taken from you, your praise will leave you. And the joy of the Lord is your strength. Praise is an expression of the joy within you. When you can't praise the Lord, it's because oppression has come upon you. The show of their countenance doth witness against them. Now, listen to that now. How they look is a witness against them. The show of their countenance witnesses against them. How people look tells a story about them. Look at them. Look at the world at large. The human race is mutilating themselves. They're mutilating themselves. They're drawing all over themselves with tattoos. They're piercing themselves all over. All kinds of weird markings and tribal markings, and putting all kinds of big donuts in their ears, and all kinds of weird hairstyles and markings all over their bodies. And it's the human race mutilating themselves because they're demon possessed. The show of their countenance, their outward demeanor, is a witness against them. This is your Bible. It's not my opinion. I'm reading from Isaiah chapter 3, verse 9. It's not my opinion. It's your Bible. And they declare their sin as Sodom. It's the Sodomites amongst us. Why did you do what you did in the world? Because you were caught up in the world as a fornicator. You were a whore and a whoremonger. You were fornicating and doing all this illicit sexual activity. And it made you into a Sodomite to the degree you began to mark your body tribally as a member of the Sodomite kingdom. They declare their sin as Sodom. They hide it not. Woe unto their soul, for they have rewarded evil unto themselves. Say you to the righteous that it shall be well with him, for they shall eat the fruit of their doing. Woe unto the wicked, it shall be ill with him, for the reward of his hand shall be given him. Listen to this now. As for my people, this is God talking. Listen very carefully to this. Don't you turn off that live stream broadcast. Leave that computer running. As for my people, children are their oppressors, and women rule over them. Women rule over them. Authoritatively, women have been placed over my people. Look what he says next. Oh, my people, they which lead thee cause thee to err. They cause you to go into error and destroy the way of thy paths. The Lord stands up to plead and stands to judge the people. Here God is right now pleading with you to stop doing what you're doing. Lady, you've gone out there and tried to take over God's house authoritatively, and God stands up to plead with you. He stands up to judge his people. He's trying to tell you stop, so he won't have to destroy you. This is the grace and mercy of God. You're wrong. You're dead wrong. There is no pastor that's a woman governing God's house. Male leadership and male foundational force in the church is real. You need a foundation built on strong, rusty men. And that's the foundation of the church. Now you've come in and he says women rule over them. And if you're doing that, you're leading the people into error. Wake up. For God's sake, wake up out of that coma. The Bible tells you in 1 Timothy chapter 3, the qualification for a pastor or a bishop is he must be the husband of one wife. He governs his own household well. Stop trying to change the Bible to accommodate feminism and the takeover of the church, led by a Jezebel spirit. Stop it. Stop kidding yourself. Stop lying to yourself. Wake up out of that coma and repent. Get on your knees tonight and repent before the living God and ask him to get that rebellious spirit out of you so you can live free again. The Lord will enter into judgment with the ancients of his people and the princes thereof, for you have eaten up the vineyard. The spoil of the poor is in your houses. Somebody better tell Creflo that. He's taking these folks' stuff, living high on the hog, and driving around in a Bentley and flying around in a Learjet. And God says the spoil, the things of the poor are in your house. What mean you that you beat my people to pieces and grind the faces of the poor? How they do it? Shall a man rob God? How have you robbed me with tithes and offerings? read Malachi again and find out the tithes and offerings are agricultural, paid to the Levitical priesthood in the Old Testament so they'd have food to eat because they didn't have any land. There is no New Testament tithe. The New Testament tithe is found in Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Present your body as a living sacrifice. Then in 2 Corinthians 9:6, he says, you give not grudgingly nor of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. As every man purposes in his heart, so let him give. Give him a life, and the Holy Ghost will direct you how and when and where to give any money if he directs you to do so. Any teaching other than that is a lie from hell. It's a lie birthed in hell to get your money and make folk rich. It's a Ponzi scheme. It's a con game. Get away from it. Look at this. The spoil of the poor is in your houses. What mean you that you beat my people to pieces and grind the faces of the poor, saith the Lord God of hosts? Moreover, the Lord saith, because the daughters of Zion are haughty and walk with stretched forth necks and wanton eyes. What are wanton eyes? They are wandering eyes. They're seductive eyes. You're walking around surveying the landscape, looking for another victim to seduce. So it says you're walking around with your head stretched out, lifted up, and trying to see where is the potential victim that's checking me out. And when I make that eye contact and I see that lust embedded in that dude's soul, I know I can take him down because he's a potential victim for my seductive ways. So you walk with stretched forth necks and wanton eyes, walking and mincing as they go and making a tinkling with their feet. You got on some ankle chains, some something around your ankles to make some noise when you walk. Therefore the Lord will smite with a scab the crown of the head of the daughters of Zion, and the Lord will discover their secret parts. He's going to make you bald-headed. In that day the Lord will take away the bravery of their tinkling ornaments about their feet and their calls and their round tires like the moon, the chains and the bracelets and the mufflers, the bonnets and the ornaments of the legs and the headbands and the tablets and the earrings, the rings and nose jewels, the changeable suits of apparel, the mantles and the wimples and the crisping pins, the glasses and the fine linen and the hoods and veils. Man, you out there dressed to kill in church. Dressed to kill. Sharp as a tack. And God said, I'm going to take all this stuff away from you because you're doing this with the wrong motivation. You need to be the sharpest woman walking around down here. But the motivation of your heart, if it's seductive, makes you unclean. And it shall come to pass that instead of sweet smell, there shall be stink. And instead of a girdle, a rent. And instead of well-set hair, baldness. And instead of a stomacher, a girding of sackcloth and burning instead of beauty. Thy men shall fall by the sword and thy mighty in the war. And her gates shall lament and mourn, and she, being desolate, shall sit upon the ground. What's happening? What's happening? What are women experiencing now? Why are they even calling themselves thirsty in the world? How is the world able to begin to call women thirsty and make fun of them? What's going on? Look what he says, Isaiah 4, verse 1 and 2. And in that day, seven women shall take hold of one man, saying, we will eat our own bread and wear our own apparel. Only let us be called by thy name to take away our reproach. Called by thy name, this phrase is really saying that you'll marry us. You'll marry me to take away my shame for not being married. Seven women trying to grab a hold of one man. Why? Because the thirst is real. They're thirsty. What caused it? The whoredoms, the seduction. What happened to you? You went out there strutting around trying to be a diva. You believed all this diva mess that was funneled into your mind through feminism. You read the Cosmo magazines and the Essence magazines, and you listened to what Kim Kardashian and Rihanna and Beyonce and all the fly girls and divas told you. You put your stilettos on, your 6-inch, 7-inch, 8-inch stilettos, and you strutting into the club finest thing on the block with your mini dress on and your hair curled up and draped to the right and the left. And you were doing it, you thought. But you were out there victimizing the lust-filled men, castrating them, effeminizing them, cutting their hearts out. And now, in the war of seduction pitted against men by Jezebel, the men have been destroyed. Gutless, spineless, effeminate, tender, sensitive, porno addicts, and got the nerve to try to speak the gospel and say something about God. And deep down in your soul as a woman, you know that guy is a wimp and his guts have been cut out of him. And he's got no bravery. He's got no intestinal fortitude. He has no stand in him. He has no backbone in him. Why? Because the lust in his soul for women is a disempowering influence. That lust keeps him weak. That lust makes you lose respect for him. Be with a man that's looking at another woman or looking at porno. And watch the disdain and the hatred that comes up on in you and tries to take you over about him. How you see him is just so weak. That's why you don't respect him. Because you see him as so weak. So emaciated. Any skirt tail that switches by, he's got to almost break his neck to look at somebody's behind or legs or breast or whatever. And you know instinctively that he's weak because of that. You know you can't trust him because of that. You know that he cannot have any affiliation with God because of that. So how can he lead you into a relationship with God when he has been rejected by God because of his own sinister lust? And you lose respect. You look at him as weak. He can't be a husband, can't be a father, because he's got no backbone. But hold it, wait a minute, before you become so judgmental, before you look at men with such disdain and such loathing, let's examine how many men you did this to. How many did you seduce? How many did you have your legs open before, inviting them into the inner chambers of your soul? When a man enters a woman through intercourse, he leaves the essence of his soul inside of that woman. Life force is taken from him. The essence of his manhood leaves him because he becomes one flesh with the woman. The Bible says, even if you join yourself to a harlot, you become one with that harlot. There's a deep mystery behind sexual intercourse. And here you are out there destroying men. And then when you finally want to get a man, you can't figure out what's wrong with a man. Well, let me ask you this. How many did you have a hand in destroying? How many did you seduce? How many sexual partners did you have? This is the thirst right here in Isaiah chapter 3 and 4. Seven women wanting one man, thirsty. Why? Because they are bathed in whoredoms. They use the physical form to destroy a man. In the world, men have sex for pleasure. Women have sex for power. I'll say that again. In the streets, out there in the club life, out there in the fornicating life, in the world, men have sex for pleasure. Women have sex for power. To conquer, to dominate, to feel like this man is groveling at my feet and he wants me so bad because he's full of lust. He doesn't want you. He wants to have sex. If you're not available, he'll just find somebody else. That's the destructive deception you walked in the world. You thought he wanted you, and all he wanted was to have sex. He'll just find another sexual orifice if you're not around. Lust is insatiable. It's not appended to any personality or anybody. Thirsty women everywhere. Biological clock running. I'm getting older. I want to have kids. There's nobody to have kids with because all the guys have had their guts cut out of them. They're running around as down low brethren, sodomizing each other. Don't want a woman because they don't want the responsibility and the commitment that goes with having a wife and a family. Pleasure seekers, hedonistic, narcissistic, all into themselves. They even jump on the internet and try to impress folk with a bunch of scriptures, a bunch of spiritual sounding religious gobbledygook. And some of you have been so blinded that you think all that religious talking junk somehow is validated and approved of by God. It's just the empty-headed ramblings of a guy that doesn't have any guts. So he's trying to impress a silly woman who doesn't understand spiritual things with a bunch of deep-sounding gibberish. And all it's going to do is end up making you sick because you know he's a hypocrite. When you hear a hypocrite talking and you know the guy's not living what he's saying, you begin to have disdain and you dislike this clown because you know he's just a ball of hypocrisy. Folks, let's stop kidding ourselves here. This war was initiated in our lives through sexual greed, seeking out sexual relief, thinking that sex in an abandoned fashion in the world was appropriate, and it ended up skewing and maligning and mutating everything the human being stands for. And God is saying, look, let's get this thing back on track now. Let's get this thing back to normal. Let's bring ourselves back to where God wants us to be. Who created that thirsty attitude in women? You played a hand in it yourself, lady. You went out there and destroyed the numbers of men through sex. And now the lack of men are leading women to become desperate for men. Now, this is a pitiful situation. It's absolutely pitiful. We've got all of this animosity between the genders. There's an invisible war being conducted between men and women everywhere. And you see them basically antagonistically interacting with each other because of the animosity that has been pulled over from the world through unlawful sexual activity. You come to hate a person you have sex with in the world because you know instinctively that person is taking from you and not giving to you. Sexual things in the world are all bathed in greed, selfishness, and what I can get out of it. To the degree that people even began to humiliate each other through activities like oral sex and anal sex. Porno actors. These women have been turned inside out like animals. Totally humiliated and depreciated through pornography.